Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Ginden, and I am the senior pastor at Real Life Ministries Texas. And I am here on the podcast with my partner, my good friend, my ministry teammate, Lori Arnold.
Hey, y'all.
And it is so great to have you all joining with us today. We are in a series called Questions, the questions that God asks man, not the questions that man asks God, which are many, but the places we find in Scripture where God asks mankind or certain individuals a question. And we've talked about this each week, that that's just such an interesting principle, because he's God, and he knows the answers before he asks. And what that reveals relationally between God and us, his kids, and how these questions can impact our lives and being a disciple and following Jesus. And whether the question was asked in the Old Testament or the New Testament, we find, I think, some pretty powerful principles that we can take away in our walk with the Lord. And so we've been through three of them. We're not covering every question God asks, but certainly some of the majors. And we opened up, Lori, with that first question of where are you? That question that God asks Adam and Eve when sin enters the world, and they go and they hide. And just the power of that, of God expressing now the gap, the distance between he and Adam and Eve, and that God knew where they were, but he was revealing something. And then we looked at what are you doing here? God's question to Elijah as he's up in the cave and kind of fleeing from what God had asked him to do. And we talked about our purpose in life. And then on the last podcast, we looked at this question, whom shall I send? When God asks Isaiah that question, and Isaiah responds and he says, send me. And we just talked about the difficulties that can be, and how hard sometimes, and when we step out, that it's sometimes not what we thought it was, and how hard that can be. And so if you've missed any of those, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to them. But today we're going to make a shift from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and a question that Jesus specifically asks of his disciples, and I think one of the most important questions that exists in the New Testament. You know, when you study the life of Christ, one of the fascinating things about Jesus is, in the New Testament, Jesus asks 307 questions. Go look it up, study it. It's true. It's amazing that Jesus asks all these questions, and he just modeled, you know, he's the greatest disciple maker to ever walk the face of the earth.
Yeah.
He models this question, relational thing that he does all the time. It's so awesome. It's amazing. And the question today that we're going to look at is, who do you say that I am? And this is a question that he poses to his disciples. But really, I mean, you know, for us as followers in our life, who do we say that he is? What is our response to that question? And so I'm going to read the passage and talk about it a little bit. And so, and do a little bit of a teaching on it today. So it's a little bit different than what we've done on some of these other questions, but I'm going to read it. We find the question in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13. I'm going to read from there. To verse 20, it says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. And so here we have the question, who do you say that I am? Peter responds by saying, you are the Messiah. We talk about this a great deal in our church that, you know, Messiah means that he's the king. He is the messianic king. And we refer to Jesus here in our church as King Jesus.
Yeah.
And so this principle that Peter confesses Jesus as king, as Messiah with his mouth, but wow, there are so many other ways, right, that we can communicate who do we say that he is with our lives, right? Yeah. And so that's where I want to jump in, Lori. When we think about this, who do we say that I am? We talk a lot about in church that we confess Jesus as Lord with our mouth, and that's important that we mm-hmm. do that. We confess it in front of people, but maybe to start with kind of thoughts that you have about how we confess, you know, who we believe that Jesus is. Who do we say that he is with our lives?
Yeah, like you said, it's important that we confess with our mouths. But I think the thing that more people see and more people pay attention to is the way we live our lives and what we believe about Jesus and who he is going to come through in the way that we live our lives.
Yeah.
So in the way that I respond to trials or adversity, the way that I treat people, whether they're my friends or not, the way that I, everything, the way I raise my children, the way, you know, it's going to come out. And I think that's actually the most important thing, because that's what is on display for all to see.
Yeah.
You know, I might confess, even when I got baptized, you know, the people that knew about that were the people that were in the room and God himself.
Yes.
However, you know, that was one moment and it was a beautiful moment, but how am I living my life outside of the four walls of the church?
Right.
That's what counts.
For sure.
You know,
I wasn't planning on doing this going to this podcast, but just when you're talking, it really resonates in my heart is, you know, Jesus is asked later, what's the greatest commandment?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, and all the law and the prophets are summed up in those two commandments.
Yeah.
So when we think about this principle of who do you say that I am, mm-hmm. Jesus would then say, your answer to that, your reflection of that is how you love other people. How do you love and care for people?
Yeah.
And to your point that sometimes our greatest way of communicating who we say that Jesus is how we treat people.
Yeah.
I mean, we can have the right answers and say the right, even the right words, but in how we do it.
Right.
And I think if we look at really the church accomplishing the Great Commission, and one of the things that we care so deeply about here at Real Life, in our small groups and the churches we plant, everything that we care about, and this is living out this Great Commission as a lifestyle of who we are.
Yeah.
So when Peter confesses this, who do you say that I'm? He gets the answer right. Here mm-hmm. it is. Jesus confirms it. You're right. This is the Father who revealed it. Now, Peter was going to go on the rest of his life living out that truth.
Yeah.
And so to think about that for a moment, sometimes in the church, we can have the right answers, right? But how we live it out and around us, I mean, I've seen it in some ways and places is terrible.
Oh yeah. It ruins our witness for Christ. It turns people away that might have been drawn to him if it weren't for our actions.
Right. And I think sometimes we've made this mistake that, that by compromising, I'm compromising truth. If I'm like, I can love somebody at the same time and completely disagree with them.
Yeah.
I can love a person that does not know Jesus and maybe they're an atheist or they, whatever that their belief system is. I can love that person and care about them, be kind to them, be the hands and feet of Christ to them, but not agree with their belief system.
Right. Well, Jesus displayed that. He modeled that for us. Even we talked about it before with the woman at the well. You know, he called her out and called out the truth, you know, and he spoke truth over her. At the same time, there was correction there, but it was also in love.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have to, I think, especially with social media right now, it's so dangerous. We have like everyone has this massive platform to use now.
Right.
Regardless of which one you're on, but it's just so big and so vast. You can reach so many people. And I have chosen to be very careful with, you know, the words that I say and what is shared there. And because for one, it's there forever. And two, so many people see those things. And so I think it's really important that we evaluate the way that we are loving our neighbors, even through the use of social media.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if we take it all the way back to this question, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
And I mentioned that we use the term King Jesus. That's what Messiah means. And so if we were all to stop for a moment and think, how do you communicate to the world around you that you follow a king, and that king came and died for you, rescued you, and you want to share that message with a person that doesn't know that king?
Yeah.
I think there's so many other ways to communicate who he is to the world around you than just verbal.
Yeah.
And so some of the things I think of is like how we serve others, our commitment to him. You know, we've adopted, or we believe this idea in the church, in the Western church today, that, I mean, church is one of the things that fit within the list of what we do. Hmm. It kind of goes along. I go to church, I do sports, I do this hobby, yeah. I do that. It just fits in the list. Yeah. I'm so grateful that Jesus didn't treat saving mankind as just something that fit in the list.
Yeah.
And then he calls us to respond back to that, is treat him as king and follow him as king.
Not just on Sundays.
Not just on Sundays. And so to think about that for a moment, what are some other ways maybe you would say, because here's what my concern is people think, well, I'm afraid to share. Like I'm not a preacher. I'm not well-spoken, but yet in their life, they may share in amazing ways and don't even realize it.
Yeah.
So maybe what are some things that you would think about where ways people communicate, who do you say that I am, that answer, that Jesus is king in their life?
Yeah.
That maybe people, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So what are some of those?
One, if you have small groups, if you've got a small group at your church or, you know, at your house, invite them, invite somebody over. You know, a lot of times that is it's a much safer, I'm doing air quotes, y'all. It's a much safer way for people to get connected to the church for them. Like if they are disconnected and scared about stepping into church on a Sunday morning because they either haven't been in years or have never been, or they have church hurt, whatever it may be. A lot of times in our small group setting, it just feels a little bit easier. It feels a little bit safer
for
people. So that's one way that they can come in and just start living life with them. And I use that phrase a lot. Like, I'll tell my friends, you know, I love doing life with you. And that's really where the magic happens. You know, it's spending my time with them, going to coffee, getting to know that person, having good conversations with them, and sharing what God has done in your life personally. Like when Jesus asked this question, it wasn't about first, they told what other people thought about who he was, who other people thought he was. But the question is, who do you say that I am? Mm. And so we have to take ownership of that. I can't continue. I had to get to a place where I couldn't live just in the shadow of my parents and their beliefs. Mm. I can't live in the shadow of my Bible school teachers, my Sunday school teachers and what they taught me.
That's good.
I had to really evaluate, what do I really believe? And who do I really say and believe that Jesus is? Because if I believe that he is truly king of my life, I'm going to look a lot different than a lot of the people around me, unfortunately.
For sure.
And that's the key, you know? Sometimes that is uncomfortable that I look a little bit different, but so what?
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. I think a part that's kind of underlying of what you're saying is our priorities start to shift change. You know, to step back and look at, you know, since you've started following Jesus, I mean, you, everybody that's listening, to stop and think about it. Cause I try to do this in my own life and go, am I seeing that the priorities of my life are shifting? Am I maturing in that? Am I caring more and more and more about the things of Jesus, the things of the kingdom? And, you know, you might go, well, you're in ministry, you're a pastor. I'm also a human and a person and that struggles just like all of you do and all these things. And I stop and reflect and go, man, I want to be progressing. I want to be going in that fancy church sanctification word, in the direction of going caring more and more and more about the things of Jesus and less and less and less about the things of this world.
Yeah.
And so the priorities, absolutely, to me, the priorities of our life communicate that answer.
Absolutely.
Of who do I say that he is?
Yeah.
And again, so is it like, if I'm in a disagreement with somebody, is it that I'm right and I'm going to prove them and I'm not going to lose this argument? Mm-hmm. Or is it, you know what, I'm going to give grace and be a little more calm and a little slow to react and try to understand and be curious about them and who they are and where they're coming from versus just right and wrong.
Yeah.
There's right and wrong. I don't need to compromise truth. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But my priority is more about them and them understanding and experiencing Jesus's grace for them than me just telling them that they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe also, I mean, thinking about this in your own life, about how you've had an opportunity to share just kind of with your everyday life, whether it be in, you know, through ministry here or just out with your friends or whatever, mm-hmm. what does that look like for you where, you know, you're sharing who Jesus is with your life?
I think what you said about priorities right there, I think that our priorities they are expressed by our response, by our responses to different situations. Because just like, as you mentioned, you know, your priority changes from like a self-focus and me getting my point across or whatever to others being others focused. And thinking about what is best for that other person.
Yeah.
And therefore your response changed. Your response wasn't the same as what it would have been before. And that's one of the things that I'm looking at in my life right now. I was praising God the other day because I was able to walk through something that was really, really hard and respond in a way that I know was God honoring when maybe 2 years ago, I might have eventually gotten there, but it just wouldn't have gone the same.
Yeah.
And I know that.
Yeah.
And that was with my kids, you know. And so I'm grateful to see that growth, but I think it's very important that we do take a look at ourselves and see how are we responding to when we are wronged. How are we responding when somebody says something that we don't agree with, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, truth matters.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. We can't forget that, but there's definitely a way that we can express truth and love and disagree with people. And that's the thing that I keep thinking about the most is people. It's just people, the way we respond to people. Mm-hmm. That's the one that comes up for me.
Yeah, that's really great. I think, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking about this. You know, when I was growing up in Northern Idaho and our family there was my grandfather was superintendent of the mill, and my family was pretty well known. And when I was growing up there, our name mattered, and that's important to people. And I don't want to diminish that, you know, kind of our name, our last name. And there's a lot of times we take pride in it. And I even think about it kind of that I make a connection to now moving to Texas, like, being a Texan's a big deal, and it's
yes,
like
it
the,
is.
Right. So the pride in who we are, and when we start to declare who do we say that Jesus is? Well, as a disciple, I'm His, and so my identities and who I was coming into that, you know, we can certainly. I'm not saying don't take pride in being a Texan. Everybody, calm down. Or in an American call, you know, but to stop and go, no, I'm a Jesus follower first.
Yes.
I am not a Gindin first.
Yes.
I am a Christian Christ follower first.
Yes.
And how we live that out demonstrates who we believe that he is. I am a son, I'm an adopted son of the King of the universe. That's my first identity.
Yes.
And I think when we live that way, then we begin to communicate who do we say that he is.
So good.
Right? Because then the priorities of these other things start to diminish.
Yep.
Because of an identity.
Yeah.
And so the thoughts you have to that.
No, that's just so good. There are so many different, different topics, different ideas, different, whether they be agendas or whatever you want to call them, that we can rally behind. And that's one of the things that I tell myself always, and I remind myself of, is what do I want to be the loudest thing?
Oh, yeah.
What should be the loudest thing in my life? Mm. What are people going to remember about me? Mm. Like, cause, and I see it, you know, I'm admin on one of our Facebook pages for like people that have passed away at my high school. Mm. And so I'm constantly, you know, unfortunately making posts, you know, about people that have passed away. And I thought about it just the other day, cause I made another one, and I'm like, oh, how do I want people to remember me? Mm. You know, am I just loud? And, you know, there are good things that I'm a part of, like even the sorority that I'm in, you know, that's not the loudest thing in my life.
Right.
And I will not let it be, you know, right. I don't want that to ever be first. The first thing is that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Mm. And so that's how I, you know, that's my, what's it called? Like my marker,
your benchmark?
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Like my measuring stick. I don't know, but that's what I always look at, you know, what's the loudest thing right now?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm going to wrap us up with that. And this thought of who do you say that I am? That question for all of us, maybe probably one of the most important questions we'll ever answer in our life is, who do we say that Jesus is? Who do you communicate? Who are you representing, and how you communicate who he is to the world around you? And hopefully all of us more growing in how we represent Jesus to the world and being his ambassadors, being a disciple of Jesus. Well, it's a great discussion today, Lori, and God bless you all. Have a great week.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.